Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Discharge in that war.
Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Oh, praise Yah, praise Yah, saints of the Most High. Let me adjust this mic here just a little. I pray everyone is well. All is well with the righteous. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we're coming in pretty good. All right, thank you there, Brother Paul. Dear beloved brother, pray every one of you have went to his channel and been keeping up on the Straightway News. Because it is good. It's good that you stay in touch with what's going on with the ministry. And Brother Paul does very good job of making these videos and keeping us abreast of what goes on during the week in the life of this ministry. Hallelujah. And I pray everyone gets edified with it, because I know that's Brother Paul's underlying motive, that the edification of the body. Oh, because we are family and we must look at it as such. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, praise Yah. Thank Yah for willing vessels. And we need more willing vessels in this time, in this hour. Especially as you heard yesterday, vessels that, allow the potter to mold them. That stay in the hands of the Father. It's a good thing to be in the hands of a faithful Creator. Because we, in times past, we've let us and let ourselves be in the hands of a tyrant called the High Satan. And boy, did he twist and turn and wrench and pull and tug us every direction that we did not want to be directed in. But thanks be to Yah that he pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That now we're no longer in the hand of the Hasatan, but we're in the Master, the Savior's hand, being molded, being fit that this vessel that he has in his hand will be fit for his use. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We should not let these words slip, especially that's a very edifying word yesterday. Very edifying word if you didn't have lazy hearing. This time, this hour, there's not too many people out there that the word is being broadcasted, the word that's being preached, that it's giving life. I see a lot of ministries out there. A lot of preachers and whoever they may be, they're saying and they're speaking, but they're taking life. They're not giving life, but they're taking. And they don't understand this. I don't see how anyone would dare try to minister the word of Yah without his spirit in them. How would they be able to speak by the utterance of his life in their being? As many of us, as Sister Ashley again gave testimony of how she was and how she was put into the potter's hand, and to this day, into this hour, we're all still in the potter's hand, and we're at certain times we're waiting the fire to really, really, really be that substance, to be that thing that helps molds us, that helps solidify us in Yah. Yeah, all thanks goes to Yah in everything. It is evident without him we can do nothing. I cannot be behind this microphone at this time, this hour, if it wasn't for Yah. I do declare that, and I do say that with confidence. And that is where my reliance is heavily upon, is the Most High Yah. Like in times past, I yielded myself when I walked to the way of this world. I yielded myself to so many spirits of this world, of the wicked one. Now I have the privilege on this side of the impalement to empty myself, to like was said yesterday, to be in the potter's hand, because he wants to pour something into us. He wants to make us useful for him. It's his hands, and his hands is connected to his mind and his heart and his being. And as he's adding water and as he's molding, that is according to his will, according to his creation, according to his purpose, according to his pleasure. And we should just let the Most High do his pleasure. Because in due time, we will reap. We will reap. We will reap. And we are vessels one to another. Oh, praise Yah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Well, bless you all, saints. This is Teacher Shane here again tonight on this edition of Blog Talk Radio, this evening edition. I bless you all and thank you all again for your support, for your prayers. Again, I implore you and I ask of you to keep always Elder Felix in your hearts and your minds and your prayers. So I know that Pastor Corey, he has been in service, been in a lot of warfare praying, been sending back curses, been doing a wonderful work of the Most High, allowing himself to be used of the Most High. And he speaks the word that Yah has given unto us. And we should speak the word that Yah has given unto us. Because he wants this word, you know, rehearsed in our being. So that it gives an allowance for him to perform it. I mean, it's that kind of faith that pleases him. That he has, you know, that he has allowed to show himself mightily. For us to surrender ourselves in him to work and show himself through us as the children of the Most High Yah. Well, blessed be the name of our Majesty, our Savior, our Master, our King. We do say hallelujah to the utmost, to the crevices of our being, from the innermost of our being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing and the love that he has shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, saints, we are continuing again in the book of Hebrews. And for those of you that have just joined this blog talk, I'd like to let you know that this has been a study that has been that me and a lot of the saints have been in fellowship together since July 2015. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been taking our time, and we've been fellowshipping with the Word, and we've been letting the Spirit, you know, minister unto us this wonderful book, this wonderful letter. Let me rephrase that, this wonderful epistle, this letter that is written to the children, which has been given to Yeshua. Now, that's that special definition that I myself, from the Word, when I say, what is a Hebrew? Then it is exclaimed in chapter 2, behold, I and the children which Yah hath given me. And in a nutshell, he's talking and addressing the Hebrews. And Hebrews are children. And we should not forgive that. Because as long as we can remain children, we have a father. He can be a father to us. And he wants to be a father to us. And this is wonderful. This is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just reading here in the chat that the donation for Elder Felix has surpassed the goal. And we thank the Most High Yah. It was raised to a $15,000 goal. Now it has broke that. But as I read this, and as Brother Paul so wonderfully put it up there, I do implore those that are in the distance of this broadcast that can hear, I pray that if it's upon your heart to donate, it's more blessed to give than to receive, because this time in this hour, we have a family member in need. We do have a family member in need. Oh, praise Yah. We have a fellow Hebrew. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise Yah. Again, we were, last time we were together, we were in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. I, throughout the week, you know, have been meditating on certain aspects of it. And yesterday morning, woke up early, sat down on the couch and opened up the book to Hebrews chapter 9 again. And there were certain things that really, really, again, stood out. I mean, really, really rang, really showed some importance. I know last blog talk, we talked about the conscience. And I like to, again, you know, continue on with that, you know, because I'm desiring to close out chapter 9. We've been in chapter 9 for a little bit. But there is so much in every one of these chapters. I mean, you can read it once, read it twice, read it 5 times, read it 10 times. And it's always, you know, by the unctioning and the moving of the Holy Spirit, it's always something more to be gleaned. So tonight, you know, I just want to share with my fellow servants, those that are in this war together, my fellow Hebrews, my brothers and my sisters, you know, let's go again, you know, and fellowship together in this word. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Again, I want to start at verse 8. We went over that quite a few times, opening it up, dealing with that first, which is natural, then that which is spiritual. That is a beautiful thing to get, you know, knowledge and understanding within our being. And this is very important to our conscience. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, says the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. When we can understand in times past, as we have fellowshiped in this word, you know, I've talked about the worldly sanctuary and been talking about it on scriptures, you know, the tabernacle that was there in the wilderness. And then we take that and then we bring it over. You know, we bring a solid understanding of what it means to us. And, you know, it's basically saying, you know, the way into the holiest of all for us. And the way to the holiest of all is impaired. Many times, and we can give testimony to this, every one of us. Any time we desire to be in the presence of Yah, and we find it, you know, we find in certain instances there is blockage. The way is it there? There's some, like, you know, like the old adage, it seems like the heavens are brass. Seems like there's something that is blocking, that is something that is keeping us, you know, to get into the presence of Yah. And I would say, you know, anything that has to deal with the old man, like Yeshua said, iniquity, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Most High will not hear me. You know, it's anything of this old man that we used to walk in. I would call it living the life of the first Adam. You know, I'm talking in, you know, metaphoric terms, as, you know, the Bible many times, the Word tells us many times, but, you know, Yeshua many times talked to us through parables in that manner, using earthly stories and earthly situations to bring us into an understanding what's going on spiritually. And in any time, you know, if we walk in the ways of the old man, walk in the ways of our prior rearing, that superfluity of naughtiness of the flesh, this prevents us from entering into the holiest of all. Then in verse 9, we can take it back to the worldly sanctuary. It says, which was a figure. I mean, it was an example. It was set up. It was a structure. It was a figure for the time then. When it was present then, it was for that time. Which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. Why? Why could it not make him that did the service perfect? Because there was something blocking the way into the holiest of all. And you've heard me say many a time, well, why say this, that the high priest went in once a year into the holiest of all? And then I'm looking, you know, and I sit back, and then they say the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Oh, the Most High I saying, you know, that which was then was not the true image. It was something to show us. It was a schoolmaster that would actually have our hearts emboldened to see what the very image is. It's amazing that when we read the book of Hebrews, it does deal with that first which is natural, then that which is spiritual, to bring us to an understanding. The children get this understanding by understanding both realms. And if we have an understanding of the natural and then bring to a understanding of the spiritual, then it brings us into a place of the perfect, if I can use that. It brings that ability to mature. And it's a beautiful thing when we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In this letter, you know, the book of Hebrews, through the children, I mean, it is really, really speaking volumes to us, especially about the high priest and about Yeshua and about the order of Melchizedek, as we, you know, in times past have fellowshipped over. And I thank the Most High Yah for that. But it was a figure for the time then. Notice that the word then, when it was present then. That could not make him that did the service perfect, but that's the Most Hayah's mind wants to bring us into maturity. To maturity. Not that word perfect as the world might perceive it to be. Oh, ye think yourself something to be perfect, think that you're better than this and that and better and that and better and this. You know that you're in an exalted position, that you can do no wrong, that you know, well, you know the spiel. You know the spiel. But in this sense, when we're talking about the word perfect, we're talking about mature, talking about complete. And it could not make him that did the service in that time that was then, in that worldly sanctuary, in that earthly manifestation that was erected because of what Moshe saw, that the Most High Yah gave Moshe the vision of when he was in the mount. That thing that was erected there on oil, it was a temporal representation of that which is in glory. But we see that it did not continue. Because the Most High Yah was looking toward the perfect. He was building and he was planting and he was plowing for a reaping of perfect, for a harvest of perfect. That was the realm of being the author. Now he's bringing us to a place where he can be the finisher. I mean, there's a lot in play here, saints of the Most High. If we just take time, get out of ourselves, get into the hands of the potter, let him talk to you, let his words mold you, let his words press you. But it could not make him that did the service perfect. Why? Why? This one thing. As pertaining to the conscience. You mean all that they did, all them years on that worldly sanctuary, it still did not reach to the conscience of man. And I'm like, wow, why, Most High, are you pinning this to us? Why, Most High, what do you want us to understand from this writing in your letter? Well, let's look at that. Let's look at that, saints of the Most High. Let us look at it again. The conscience. Again, let's look at what the conscience means. Let me put that word in the chat. Conscience. It's an inner feeling or voice viewed. Here, you hear that? An inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. It's the inner sense of what is right or wrong in one's conduct or motives, impelling one toward right action. And we understand why. Why? Why? You know, even in hearing this, why that the law, the commandments, the royal law. You love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, you know, your whole being. Second like unto the first, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, them commandments, when we look at it for the time that was then present, they were on two tables of stone. But, you know, them being outward, written on two tables of stone, they ministered to pretty much as what we're reading here to the outward. But, you know, now the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their mind. Now it's in. That's not out no more. But it's in. And it's because of the law in our mind and in our hearts, and with our mind we serve the Most High Yah. And how do we serve the Most High Yah? Because we have a law, we have a structure, we have a compass, we have a map, we have direction. That becomes at one time we did not have this in. But now, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you have it in, and you have this inner feeling, this inner sense, this inner voice that guides you and talks to you what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is iniquity. Excuse me, saints. And again, don't confuse this word with, I'm going to write it here again in the chat, conscious. We got one word spelled C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Then we have the another word, conscious, C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S. But these words should not be confused one with another. But they both have to do with the mind. They all have to do with the mind. Now this word conscience, it almost sounded like conscience and conscious. Conscience, old French word, is borrowed from a Latin word, consentia. Consentia. And that word consentia in the Latin means knowledge with oneself. And then that breaks down to the word conscience, present participle of consire, to know, to be conscious of wrong, right, whatever. And these words are a compound word of com, means together, and skire, to know. Amazing, amazing here. Now this conscious, aware of and responding to one's surrounding. I mean, you're awake. Now that your conscience has a law, precepts, and commandments of Yah, now you are awake. Now that you are aware, what you are aware of unto now, you're aware of Yah. Time passed when this was not in you. You were not aware of him. And you could not give testimony of him. And you could not be a witness of him. Because that was in the book of Acts. After they received the Holy Spirit, then they were witnesses. Then they were witnesses. And we got a lot of people out here that are not witnesses. Why? They have not received the Spirit. And there are a lot of them out here that speaks and don't even teach of having the Holy Spirit abiding within the child, within the believer, within the Hebrew. And when you look at these words and you sit back and you meditate, you almost, you know, like when you're meditating, you know, with the word of Yah and with good food, you really, really take time to taste the flavor. Many times, you know, meditating upon the word of Yah, it's like this. But synonyms of this word conscience. Conscious, aware, awake, alert, responsive, sentient. Also, it means having knowledge of something, aware. We can be painfully aware of and sensitive to. Now, you really look, you know, and start, you know, as we're reading here in the book of Hebrews, what we're building up to, blood. Let's continue on. But it said in 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them. For the time then present, it says unto the time of reformation or reformation. And we got a beautiful report of the reformation, of how it was being set up, even from this time. And it was really put into action when our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, was walking upon this earth. That was the door. That was the opening of the door. That was, you know, the inroads to the new man. Because this Savior, the one that the children have been given to, you know, he saw our plight. He saw our need. You know, he saw our state as being flesh and blood. But him, you know, in the eternal, he was spirit. But this Yeshua, this Savior, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You know, this is spoken early in the book of Hebrews. It behooved him to take on flesh and blood like his children, like us, like his brethren. Now, you really look at that. You really can, you know, what we have been talking here, the conscience and the conscious, how he was conscious of our need, of our being, of our plight, of our toil. And what was, you know, written upon his conscience. Because all he could do as being the word of Yah was to perform the word of Yah. Because he said, I delight to do thy will, O Yah. In the volume of the book it is written of me. We read the volume of that word that became flesh. And we've got to, really view this word as a body. Because who now is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about the main functions in a body that keeps a body alive. Verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of what? He become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. And you know who is the tabernacle, the temple of Yah now. Not made, let us say, like we learned and fellowshipped in the last blog talk when we come together. Not of this building. Then it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. That was then for the time then present. Neither by the blood. Don't forget, you know, as pertaining to the conscience. As pertaining to the conscience. Because the conscience and the conscience, they really work together in tandem. Because, you know, before we were awakened to the existence of Yah, he was not in our conscience. And because, you know, his word was not in us, we was not conscious of his being. If it wasn't, you know, for the word being taught and the word being preached and the word being put down in our heart, being applied to our conscience, where would our consciousness be? Really think about it, saints. Really look at this. Really look at this. From this standpoint, from the work of Yeshua, you know, the word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Because we know that conscience and conscious both deal with the mind. And when we read this word, we've got to really pertain it to the mind of Yah. What is the mind of Yah saying? As you know, that's what I was saying earlier. What, Yah, are you trying to teach your children? What is in your mind this hour? Is my ear inclined to hear from your mind? Praise Yah. But neither by the blood of goats and calves. It was good for that. Why? To the purifying of the flesh. You hear that? To the purifying of the flesh. We'll hear that later. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood. Talking about sacrifices. Sacrifices. It's the only way that the blood could be gotten out of that vessel. If it wasn't for Yeshua allowing that vessel to be broken. that body that he come and dwelt in, that he desired to be like unto his children, flesh and blood. Notice that word, flesh and blood. Many times we look over and we see a conjunction there, but we don't take time to sit back and meditate on the word flesh. Many times, you know, I've seen this preached and taught, flesh and blood, and, you know, they're both put together, and it's not really brought to its fullness. And this is what, you know, come, you know, to me yesterday morning, you know, when I read it, I had to step back and say flesh and blood. For we wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against we. And I'm like, we. So we're not looked at in the Most High's eyes as flesh and blood. And in our fight, we got to understand in our minds and in our hearts, our fight is not against flesh and blood, our wrestling, our turmoil. So neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But the word they said, blood. You know, and we see naturally blood in our bodies, you know, and any time, you know, there's a breach, you know, like a cut in the hand or cut in the foot or any cut, you know, on the outward shell. You know, if that's open, then we see a red substance come out, which we call blood. And our mind and our hearts, and our understanding as children, as we know on this naturally. Let us take a look, you know, first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual concerning this blood. Again, you know, when we look at blood, we look back in the law, Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh." Notice this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." This is talking about the time that was then present. Now, this is talking, you know, it was a time when the bulls and goats and bullocks and certain turtle doves and whatever it may be were slain. You know, them vessels were broken. Them animals were, we could say that their death, the death of that animal or whatever it was that was for whatever sin offering, that was a propitiation for that person. And we understand that was only good for 1 year. Good for 1 year. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I," Yeshua's Yahweh saying here, "and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Notice that, an atonement for your souls, your mind, your will, your emotions. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, if you take that blood out of that flesh, as we see when that blood left that bull, that blood left that goat, that flesh, that body no longer ceased to be alive. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar." We've been learning about altars a little bit in the tabernacle teachings, "to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood, that maketh an atonement for the soul." You know, a sound heart is also the life of the flesh. Let's go on again. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh." We see now that this, again, we'll reverberate it, we'll repeat it again. To the purifying of the flesh, to purifying of that outward. Verse 14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through what?" Listen at this. We take it slow. How much more? Now, we reading here, and you know, if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of a heifer, if they sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, if they just only dealt with the outside, in like manner, how much more, listen at that word, more. How much more? How much more? How much more shall what? The blood of Christ, who through, how did he go? How did this blood, this sacrifice was given? Who through the eternal Spirit, through, you hear that? The thing that motivated the conscience and the conscience of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, offered himself without spot to Yah. Purge? What's it going to do? This blood's going to purge when his blood is on the inside. You got so many people out there ministering and calling himself of Christ, and all they can do is minister to the outward man. And we know that. And we have testimony of that. But if this blood, how much more? How much more? Purge your conscience from dead works. Dead works? Dead works? You remember the works that you wrought through sin in your time past? No, I really, the emphasis here is on dead, dead, dead. Purge your conscience from dead works. And if it purge, this dead work, everything that was once dead in you, and this blood takes that dead away, takes away, for what purpose? To serve the living Yah. To serve the living Yah. We go on, we building here. Jesus said unto them in John 6:53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man." Notice that, you eat the flesh. Notice we've been dealing with the flesh. "And if you eat the word of Yah, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood," he says, "you have no life in you." I'm like, whoa. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I mean, I'm sitting back and I'm like, what? Flesh and blood, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. So we've got the old man and his state of flesh and blood. And now here we are as a new man eating. That's when we take Passover. That's when our conscience, and that's when we become conscious of the body and the blood of Christ. Notice it's a beautiful thing, you know, when you really, really, really are aware, and the Most High Yah makes you aware of, you know, how He opens up the year. How He opens up the door always to the living on, you know, the feast of Passover, where you partake of the body and the blood of Christ. And we rehearse this naturally. And when we rehearse it naturally, and when we see ourselves immersed in this natural feast, we're doing it, you know, in this temporal world, you know, that it at that time, you know, you really, really, you know, have to go beyond when you're really immersed in the feast to really know that it's beyond eating that bread and drinking that wine, that you're really, you know, in the spirit. You know, your outward man may be doing one thing, but your spirit man is doing something greater. You know, many times many people take these feasts with the outward man. But I think the Most High Yah wants us, as the children of the Hebrews Yah, that this feast should really, really, really be observed with the inner man. What bread are we partaking of from the inner man? What blood are we drinking from the inner man? Really think about it. Really think about it. When many of us that have had the privilege to take a Passover, is our minds just only, as I say, in the outer court? Our mind is only on temporal and physical and natural things? Or are we really, really, really consuming and really partaking of this feast from the inside? Is our conscience and our conscious that the blood that has been enjoined into us, is it doing the work which Yah had purposed it to do? Do we have that understanding? And if we have that in our conscience, then we're conscious of it. Then we are aware of what we are partaking of, and then it has more meaning. Because, you know, in any time, if it's taken with the flesh man, it is temporal, and that's why many fall away. They don't discern the master's body. The master's body, when they really think about, you know, this temporal man, this flesh and blood, you know, this temporary tabernacle we're in, we got to understand that its lust and its affection, everything, that has been put upon a tree. If we really have our conscience and our conscience exercised in this manner, I mean, we really get our minds and our hearts into this way of fellowship, into this way of thinking, to where things will, that we won't be an ungrateful people, that these things will have a deep meaning. They won't just go over our heads. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life. We find ourselves all the time consuming ourselves. Don't we? Don't we? Don't we? You know, the ways of this world and the thoughts of this world and the cares of this life will have us cannibalizing ourselves and cannibalizing others. something, you know, it's just, oh, I'm not going to go into that. But we're talking about an eternal body here, an eternal being eating of that body and becoming one with him, as you heard yesterday. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:35, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You know, and you really think of it when we're looking at this. This is consumed from the inner man. This outer man, you know, as you know, the scribes and the Pharisees said, now what? We're going to sit there and gnaw on him? We're going to take his finger and put ketchup on it and eat his fingers or his toes or his arm? You know, we're going to barbecue this rabbi? No, that's the way they thought. But the Most High Yah was, through his son, was speaking to the greater one that is in us, the greater one that has been birthed in us. That's, you know, that inner man, that new man in you. That's the one that will have the meat of Yeshua. That's the one that will drink the blood of Yeshua. And he says again, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And I'm like, yeah, we this consuming, that it's a beautiful thing if we consume Christ. It's a very ungodly and hateful thing if we consume one another. Which flesh and blood are you going to feast on? Which body is your mind and your heart on? Are you in him or are you in yourself? Because if you're in yourself, you're going to be a cannibal. No wonder there is backbiting and coveting and jealousy and whatever, you know, all these things that pertain to the flesh. And the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And if any man walks in that body, you know, it's that body. We forget, as Hebrews, that body has been slain. And we've got to have this in our conscience and in our conscience. And like I said, you know, this Hasatan keeps many of your minds in the past. Because if you was consuming the body of Christ, your mind will be in the world to come. Because that's the thing that will speak to your conscience. And that's what you will be conscious of. You are what you eat. Wrestle not, for we, there's a certain we. People of the world, the heathens, the ungodly, they're not in this wrestling as we are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. And it's a beautiful thing, saints, with the entering in of the knowledge of Christ. And now we let this word come in. We understand it with our heart, with our inner man. This entering in of the knowledge of Christ and of the knowledge and cleansing of the blood. You know, the conscience being purged with that blood, because for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we are conscience to the real world. We have a consciousness to the world that is in hand in front of us. But we are been raised spiritual beings. Again, this perception should not be perceived naturally. Galatians 1:16. Paul said this, you know, to have the Son of Yah revealed in us. Many of us remember that day when we come conscious, I'm using the word conscious, of the Son of Yah. We came, you know, the word of Yah came into our conscience. And we understood that we had offended a holy Yah. We took his name in vain. We stole. We murdered. We didn't keep the Sabbath day holy. I mean, all this came to our conscience. And that awakened our consciousness to our deplorable being. You know, for us, you know, at that time, to be impaled. We understood, you know, that we needed to die. That we were worthy of death. So we were crucified with him. I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. But yet not I. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How? Because we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. In Galatians 1:16, Paul said, to reveal his Son in me. And, you know, to reveal, you know, the Son has got to be revealed in us, not upon us. Many people have the Son revealed upon them, but the Son to the masses is not revealed in them, not in their conscience and not in their conscience. You know, it was never a fleshly gospel that brung us to our knees. Never, never, never. It wasn't until a holy law was rehearsed in our ear. And that seed which was placed from the foundation of the world, it received water. And then we become awakened to who we the Hebrews really were. And it desired to reveal his Son in me, to reveal his Son in you. Why? That Paul said, you know, his Son was revealed in me to that I might preach him among the heathen. And to, you know, to have this revelation of the Son in us. And as Paul so eloquently said, he said, immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Listen at that. Paul didn't go to, you know, to his fellow brethren. You know, like Pastor said, I didn't go to Spurgeon and I didn't go, you know, to men of this realm or nothing, you know, to get this understanding, to, you know, to understand what was going on in me. You know, when like you read the newsletter that when you know, he didn't have the Holy Spirit, preached unto him, taught unto him. But somehow it was revealed in him. And because it was revealed in him, he didn't immediately go, you know, to this person or that person, go to a family member or nothing. But, you know, he was driven by the Spirit to go to the Word of Yah to get confirmation. And once the Word of Yah was added to the, you know, his conscience and his consciousness, the Son was more revealed in him. It was revealed in us. And as we go on in this walk, if we continually eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we'll continually have the Son revealed more and more and more and more in us. But he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. And this is saying to me, and it should say to you, that we should not confer, that we have to confer, let's say it this way, to the Spirit outside of our own life. And we've got to really get beyond our own bodies, these own natural bodies that are wasting away, that are aging. You got to get away from this natural substance that we think that is our life, which is not our life. We see that things of this world are not consisting. They're not remaining. We're not to, you know, the word tells us not to lean to our own understanding. We've got to get even beyond our own life force, like I've got to have a piece of cake or a piece of pizza or a hamburger or this or that, you know, thinking on things, you know, for this body to, you know, to consist in its time, water and whatever. Our natural blood. Now let's look at this naturally about blood. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Now let's look at blood and the function of blood. Hallelujah. Look at natural blood for a minute. You know, the blood, the red fluid that runs through your body. So let's look at it for just a little bit. Look at which is natural, and it's going to reveal something to that spiritual. Our natural blood, it performs, you know, many functions. This blood performs many functions within this body. Now, we are the body of Christ. We're different members in particular, but we are one body. Now, listen to that. No, we got body and we got body. You know, we've been talking about two bodies. We've been talking about two tabernacles, where, you know, and we're taking one to understand what is going on now. We look at the shadow to see the very image. Now, this blood, it performs many functions in the body. And these functions are supplying oxygen to tissues, no, hemoglobin that's carried in the red cells, supplying nutrients such as glucose, amino acids, fatty acids, and that's part of its performing. Also, blood, you know, in itself has three kind of main functions, the reason why the blood is in these bodies. And, you know, we'll talk concretely here, you know, the purpose of blood being in these bodies. One is transport. One is protection. And one is regulation. Now, when I'm speaking to you, you know, I'm speaking, you know, about natural blood. But, you know, still in our hearts and our minds, we can, when we talk about the blood of Christ that is flowing in us, the real blood. This blood that we're talking about here, it is temporal blood, you know. This blood will leak out and it'll dry up and it's no more. But there is an eternal blood. When we look at the natural blood and its functions, let us look at the eternal blood and how it's been functioning in our lives. This blood has three main functions: transport, protection, and regulation. Now, this blood, you know, if it abides alone, what can it do? I mean, if it just sits there by itself, will it have transport? Will it have protection? Will it have regulation? Now we know, let's look at our own natural bodies, that blood, you know, to get around in this human body, got to be pumped by a heart. It's pumped by a heart. And from the heart, its blood is pumped through blood vessels. You hear that word, vessels. Me and you are vessels. Just as, you know, we are sitting here fellowshipping with the word tonight, I'm hoping that the heart of Yah is speaking to you. I hope the heart of Yah was speaking to you yesterday and the blood of Christ was pumping through your being. But this blood is circulated around the body through blood vessels by the pumping action of the heart. We're talking about one body, but we're really looking at the true and real body, the body of Christ. That's why in this time, this hour, we need more vessels, willing vessels of Yah, to pump the blood. You know, the blood is on the inside. You got a lot of people out here speaking about the blood from an outward understanding. But we have the blood from an inward understanding. Therefore, we are witnesses. And then because we are witnesses of what's going on inside, then we can preach to those that are without. To have his son revealed in me. And in this way, as we're, you know, just fellowshipping this word tonight, we're having the son revealed to us in a hope in a greater and more, you know, magnificent way. And then as I was reading this, and then I was going first that which is natural, and then that which is spiritual, and I was meditating, and I like, wow, all I could do was stand in awe at the magnificence of a holy Yah. And this blood, due to its importance to life, you know, we have life in these bodies, you know, if the blood leaves this body, this natural body, it ceases to live. Well, we're talking about the blood of Christ. Saints, I'm going to take a little break here. Let us meditate on just a little bit, just for a short span here, on all that has been said. We thank Yah for his son. I thank Yah for his blood. As you know, as even going through this, you know, just this little simple, you know, kind of teaching, it is, to me, profound. It gives me, you know, a greater great thankfulness and reverence to our Savior. Oh, hallelujah.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. 688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others, so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 To serve the living Yah. And it's only the blood that purges our conscience that allows us to serve the living Yah. And you know, this is an inner work. Cannot be done outwardly. We've got to go in. And because, you know, Yeshua's heart was in this matter, his conscience and his conscience propelled him to fulfill the word of Yah, the will of Yah. And this is the cause in verse 15 of 9. For this cause, he is the mediator, the one that's standing in deliberation between us and Yah. He is the mediator of the New Testament. When I look at New Testament now, you know, you got a Bible called Old Testament and New Testament. We look at the word testament as covenant. And I, you know, I even take it even further, you know, with the book of Hebrews. You know, I look at it almost in this stance, you know, as in the resurrection that 1 Corinthians 15 opens our minds and our hearts about. Because it was written. And it's written, you know, in this word that was made flesh. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So we have that quickening spirit, this cause. He is the mediator of the New Testament. He is the mediator, this eternal spirit, this spirit that gives life. This is the body that is in us. This is the flesh and the blood. I mean, we have fellowship every day with our own flesh and with our own blood. But how much more, you know, it is imploring us to have more fellowship with his flesh and his blood on this side of the impalement. When that old man in you has been crucified, has been impaled with him together, if you know, if our conscience and our conscience have believed that report, if that is a, you know, a foundation of our faith, that we have been planted together in his likeness, planted together in his death, planted together with a like mind. We go on the way that we've got to put on the same mind he is, and we got to suffer like him. We've got to, you know, view all things through his body, because his body came first to this world and it was a sinless body, but it was a flesh and blood body, but without sin. And he took that same body and sacrificed it upon a tree. And we know that he drawed all of our sin to that body, all our iniquity, all our transgression to that body. And he kept that body alive. You know, that word kept that body. Whereas, you know, any mortal man on this earth would have died, you know, at the scourging. But this man, the man Christ Jesus, not only did he endure the scourging, but he endured the tree. I mean, he took the very instrument that he was supposed to be impaled on, drug it through the city, and then was impaled outside of the city. It was amazing what he did with that body, that sinless body, that sacrifice of himself to draw all the sins, again, iniquities and transgressions of us all to that body. And he kept that body alive. Yah kept that body alive till that very last sin that very last transgression was put upon it. Then once that body had that living body had that all that sin soaked in it, then he slew it. Guess what happened with that sin, iniquity, and transgression? As that body died, it died. Is your life hid with Christ in Yah? Are you dead? Are ye dead? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, and a lot of people fear death. Boy, you talking about something in this time, in this hour, that is used. I mean, they should have that should be the main thing on every billboard, on every commercial. That is the underlying thing that people are fearing in this world, that live in this world, that are not the heathen. They're not of Yeshua. That are not of the body. The people on the outside. They're all in bondage to death. But Yeshua, that by means of death, and we, the saints of the Most High Yah, we should not fear death on any part. Because if we are eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, then death should have no more dominion on you. Sin should not have its reign in your body as it did in times of old. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there is also necessity be the death of the testator. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. And we see that all the bulls and the bullocks and the goats and all that was made to the purifying of the flesh, to the soul. And we see that now, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? Why? Because the last Adam was made a quickening. That word quickening means it was a life giver. Because Yah is living. Yah is not dead. For a testament is, there is must also of necessity be the death of the testator. It says, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Again, verse 18. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Notice this. Because we know it was to the purifying of the flesh. It was sprinkled on the outside. Well, now, saints of the Most High, you have blood sprinkled on the inside. Listen to this. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which Yah hath enjoined unto you. Lamps's version says, saying that this is the blood of the testament which has been ordained for you by Yah, by God, is the blood. Now we're talking about Moshe speaking here. But as we read in the Word, and he said, there's one that's coming just like me. Moshe said that. This is the blood of the testament which Yah hath enjoined unto you. Moshe, he sprinkled in verse 21 with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. You hear that? All the vessels of the ministry. So in your body, what is that that transports the blood? The vessels. What is that which pumps the blood? The heart. But are we talking about our natural heart and our natural vessels? No, we're talking about the body of Christ. You are the vessels. He is the heart. And his heart is in you. And that which pumps that heart, his heart, which is in you, pumps the life force, that quickening spirit in you. That is that blood. That blood does not, as we, you know, see temporally, it has a color. We don't need to get to that realm. But are we talking about things of the spirit? Things of the spirit. Things of the spirit. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And it says, and without the shedding blood is there's no remission. And it goes on again and says, you know, as Moses did, now comes a greater. Now comes the testament that is a force. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens. Now, you know, Moses was, you know, talking about, and he was ministering in a worldly sanctuary built after that which he saw in the heavenly. So we see, you know, everything that took place for that time then present. You know, that thing had to be performed in the heavenlies. Listen to this. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heaven, pattern. We've been talking about patterns. It just got through talking about a pattern which Moses did. Moshe. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these. What? Blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What? Better sacrifices? What's the better sacrifice? Well, we see that Moshe used the blood of bulls, calves, and goats. Well, we see how the better sacrifice come on the scene. And how he was able to go and deal with the heart, the very essence and the soul and the being of man. So verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He don't need to do as Moshe did. Now he's under a better testament. You know, Moshe, he ministered under a living soul, a realm of the living soul. When we see a greater and more perfect high priest now ministering under a quickening spirit, that is the very heart and core of our being. That is who we are in him. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, which they should, you know, when we look at them, should tell us something about ourselves, especially in this walk. Especially in this way. Figures of the truth, but into heaven itself. He had to go into heaven itself the same way that Moshe had to purify the things in the worldly sanctuary. Yeshua had to go and purge and clean that very thing which that accuser of the brethren at Hasatan, Lucifer had defiled with his workings, with his doings. And that's why, you know, we use the blood of Christ in us. When we have sinned, when we have transgressed, when we know that in our conscience that we've been cut off from Yah by our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. It's only by the blood are we drawn nigh. We really got to get to a better understanding, and I'm hitting this tonight very lightly concerning the blood, 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 blood. We're looking at it naturally, the function of the blood naturally. Now, you know, take that very function and look at it on Yeshua's perspective, what he performed, and the more we can just stand in awe. We can stand in amazement, not in a bad sense, but in rejoicing. But he went into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of Yah for us, for his children. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, you know, as we know the pattern of old. These sacrifices of bulls and goats and bullocks, they had to be done from year to year to year to year to year. No wonder the Most High, you know, had to get to the perfect. He had to let that go on. He let that testament to do its work so that we, the children of Yah, would cleave to the testament that was coming. The very things that the prophets and all them desired to look into. They seen them afar off, but they didn't obtain it. But here we are in the obtaining of it. And it's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Nor as yet as he offer himself on as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. You hear that? With blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world? But he says, but now once in the end of the world. It's amazing. And it should be in every one of us that when Christ has come into us, the end of the world should have took place in us. You know, that very fellowship of that death in us should take away the fear of death which is to come. Because the end of the world is upon us now. Now that we have died in this stead with him, with our life hid with him, then what bearing has the death of this world have on us now? It should have no fear. There should be no fear, no anguish, no turmoil in us about that. Because in our conscience, the blood of Christ have made it known unto us that we have passed from death, that the second death has no more reign on us. It has no more bearing on us. But it will the world. It will the ungodly. It will the heathen. For they must, he often have, since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The blood, the blood, the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. So this blood has function, huh? The blood of Christ has function, you know. The invisible things of Yah are clearly seen by the things that are made. Do we take the time now, since our conscience And our conscience is aware of these things by his word to really meditate on these things and calls us to be prudent in the coming days ahead. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We still yet lot to learn about this blood. But I pray, Saint, you child of Yah, wherever you are at in your walk, I pray that you are getting an understanding of the importance of this blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, which flesh is your mind on? Your own flesh or the flesh of Christ? He said, take, eat. This is my body. Hey, drink. This is my blood. It's ordained for you. It's not ordained for the heathen. It's not ordained for the vessels of destruction fitted for wrath. And if you've been allowed to partake of his body and his blood in your conscience, and your conscience is aware of what you're doing, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Now you know you have power to walk into the holy. Because you have holy on the inside, which will affect the outside. Many people, you know, like Yeshua said, you may clean the outward of the cup. But you look inside that cup and it's all kinds of distortion and dead men's bones. No, if there's no life in us, which is not our life, but is his life, then we can dispense it. Then we can be witnesses. And we can see at this time and this hour, there's a lot of people out there saying, lo, Christ is over here, Christ is over there. But their words are not from the word of life. An old flesh man is speaking. A lot of churches out here on every corner, and they're ministering to the flesh. You better be thankful that the Most High Yah has led you and opened your ears and your eyes to hear a word of the Spirit. And we know in ourselves, you know, how quickening this real word is. The Hebrews, the children of Yah who have Christ on the inside, no wonder, you know, when they hear his voice, the running takes place. We've got to run when we hear the word. But you see the people running from the word? They're not the children of Yah. So what if the Most High Yah wants to distribute his blood through rebuke and reproof and admonishing and exhorting? Are you going to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood at that time? Or will you turn away and run away from the word that is there, desiring to purge your conscience? Like we said, yes, let us remain in the potter's hand. Don't fear what man can do unto you, but fear the one that can but body, soul, and spirit in hell. But we know we're not destined to that. We, the saints of the Most High, we're not appointed unto wrath. And you can rejoice in that. We've been appointed unto salvation. Why? What's been pumping in us? What's been pumping in us? What pumps through us? What's been pumping through us? Well, the only thing we have been speaking about tonight is Yeshua. And I've been pumping his blood, you know, not by my heart, but by his heart. And that's what the ministers of Yah are here to do, to dispense the blood. And hopefully that there be vessels in the body able to carry this blood onward to the, you know, to the fingers and to the toes and to every part of the body. We are the body of Christ. And we're really coming into an understanding of what the real blood is. what the real flesh is. Well, saints of the Most High, I bless you and thank you again. Glad you were all, I'm glad for you all, able to take time out tonight to fellowship with us, to fellowship with one another with this word, and be at the table of Yah again, to eat and drink of his word, to learn of him. Oh, praise Yah. Praise Yah, saints of the Most High Yah. I pray, you know, for you to be victorious this week. Get your mind off the things of the past. I see that going on with so many, many. And the word is trying to compel you on what things to think of. I mean, it wants us to keep our mind in life. You know, we've got to remain in the living Yah. He's living. He's living. He's living. The heathen think they're living, but they're not living. We are living. Well, bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah, whoever you may be. We may have friend. We may have foe in the room tonight. Praise Yah and praise be to Yah. That his grace and his mercy is compounded daily to us. Bless you all. Thank you, Brother Paul, again for posting. Thank you all, my brothers and sisters, for keeping each other in prayer, keeping the blood pumping. Keep Elder Felix in your prayers tonight. And all the saints, Pastor Corey, as he is warring this past few days, pray for his strength. Pray for the body there as they are distributing the blood. Oh, bless you. Bless you all, saints, the Most High Yah. Leave you tonight with wonderful words. Again, the King is coming. Be at peace. Your day of redemption is growing nigh. It's closer than when it was before. Oh, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. We are so thankful for his life.